Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Newcastle Natter. My name is Fergus Craig and I am joined by Paul Doolan.
Hello.
And Dave Watson.
Hello. Happy Yuletide. Is it Yuletide yet? I don't know.
No, the tide is yet to come in. We're a long way from Yuletide, I would have thought.
What is Yuletide?
I don't know.
It is
December 1st. So we've all started our advent calendars today. Dave actually genuinely does have an advent calendar. Like some man pining for a youth that he never had. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that. Well, good luck to you. Enjoy that advent calendar, Dave. Paul, have you got an advent calendar?
No.
No.
I won't have them in the house.
No.
Disgusting. It absolutely disgusts me.
See what else is disgusting? And that is our points total in the Premier League this season. So, since the last podcast, Newcastle United have played 2 more games under the stewardship of Eddie Howe. Paul, you attended the first of those games.
Yes.
At Arsenal. So I will start by going to you. What were your overall impressions of that game?
I thought we were...
Which I will now remind the listeners was a 2-0 loss.
Yeah. Go ahead, Paul. We kept things even for, I think it was an hour, pretty much, not far off there. First half was quite tight and we made a few chances, but Arsenal really didn't turn up. I think they were able to play within themselves. The sort of only things of note in the first half was Shelby hitting the bar and Aubameyang missing a sitter. That was kind of it. It wasn't liquid football. It was just about okay. And then when we defended okay until we didn't, which seems to be the thing this year. And then, as with every game, when you have Matt Ritchie and Emil Kraft at fullback, they were quite easily exploited. And Arsenal had quite a routine win.
Dave?
Well, I think with it, it's an interesting like polar opposite where Bruce would go into a game against, I don't know, fucking Brentford and talk them up and then set up not to lose like he did against like West Brom or Sheffield United or whatever. He would like overestimate the opposition. I think counter to that, Eddie Howe underestimates the opposition or maybe overestimates Newcastle. I don't think we can play that more open style against the top clubs because we don't have the personnel and we don't have the confidence up front to like keep up with their goal scoring. So I think it was a bit naive of Eddie Howe to set us up like that. And I think, yeah, like Paul says, I think he's getting a couple of selections wrong. And we'll go on to talk about the Brentford game, I'm sure. But it's, yeah, you got a few things wrong. I thought Joe Linton was decent again. He had another decent game. I thought Shelby was better than he has been for the past like couple of seasons under Steve Bruce. So yeah, there are like things to be positive about. And the other thing to consider is Arsenal are just much better than us. And if they, as long as they turn up, man for man, they're better than us. And 9 games out of 10, they're going to take all 3 points.
The positive for me was that we were no longer second to every single ball. It felt like we had a bit more energy and we weren't just sort of frightened school children. We were able to, we were challenging for the ball, and maybe there's, you know, a sort of renewed confidence that will be shattered soon, but at least a new sort of like vim around the place. And yeah, there were like, in both of the games that we've just had, this Arsenal game and the game last night, we've had little, there's been a few things you can say, oh, well, that's an improvement, like Shelby, for example, or whatever. But like, we still don't look like winning a game. We're still really bad. Sort of shows you how bad we've been. We're still very much a relegation, if not a relegation side, we'll see. But you know, certainly a side that deserves to be in a relegation battle.
Yeah, I think Arsenal are a tricky game to draw many conclusions from. Sure. They only really lose against the top teams at the moment. They're kind of, they've weirdly become kind of flat track bullies. I don't think we could have hoped for a result, but I think the defensive selections, for me, 3 of the back 4 shouldn't be starting.
Yeah.
And I think,
well, let's get onto that, because the game with a lot more to talk about really is the game that happened last night against Norwich. It was described beforehand by many as a must-win game for a game at the end of November. I've never felt this much sort of pressure on a game in terms of relegation at this stage of the season, but it felt very, very important, and everyone involved seemed to acknowledge that. And after the break, we'll talk about how that went.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike, or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
Welcome back to the Newcastle Natter. It was pointed out to me as soon as I went to break, as the professionals say, in the first part, that was a very short first part. You know, as I always say, this is a very amateur operation, so I literally have no idea how long it was. It was quite short. And the reason was that I thought as soon as we got into the Norwich game, I'd not be able to get us out of it. We would just not shut the fuck up, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm quite prepared to finish this podcast off with a 3-hour rant on Kieran Clarke.
I've just about calmed down. It's been 24 hours, but I've not been that angry with one of my own players for years.
Do you know what it reminded me of? You remember when I think it was Mike Williamson charged into a play. I think it was against Leicester in the season we went down.
Yeah.
And it was like the stupidest red card up until Kieran Clark, 10 minutes into the fucking most winnable game of the season.
It's weird. The Mike Williamson one, and in the other relegation season, I think there was a Danny Guthrie one where it was just players who'd had enough. This didn't even have the excuse of just being anger at things going wrong. It was just so stupid.
For a guy as experienced as Kieran Clark, he should know by now that you can come back from 1-0 down. It's doable. It's a pain in the ass, but you can do it. It's incredibly hard to win a game with 10 men for like more than 80 minutes of the game left to play. It's fucking stupid. I hope it's the last time you see him in a black and white shirt. I really do.
I'd be surprised if it was. But, you know, maybe I can see the argument for it. For anyone who didn't see the game and hasn't seen the highlights, basically 9-10 minutes into the game, Kieran Clark made an error which gave the ball to Pookie, I think it was, for Norwich, who ended up essentially in a one-on-one with Dubravka. And Kieran Clark, it's one of those moments where, as you say, he is an experienced defender. He's probably got 400 appearances or something in the Premier League. He's like been around a long time. And it's not like a sort of like rush of blood to the head. You can understand a sort of panic in that moment, but you have a second there to make a decision. Do you know what I mean? You should be able to evaluate in that moment what to do.
Yeah.
And he made the wrong choice, didn't he, Paul? Anything else on that?
It's an odd... I mean, he's a player who was signed to bring us up from the Championship. We signed him from a relegated Aston Villa team, I think. The fact he's still here 5 years later is an indictment of what's gone before, but he has been quite a tidy player for us. He's just
At times, yeah.
There's times where he's looked like our best centre-back in the last few seasons. But that, he just feels like his form's been terrible this season. It was not a surprise. I was saying on our WhatsApp group before kickoff, why is Clark in ahead of Fernandes? I don't think I'm the only one.
And in the Arsenal game, before kickoff, you were saying, why is Kraft starting? So, I mean... You've got to give Paul Dillon the job to the end of the season.
Just put me in interim charge.
There's been a couple of selections. You know, there's always going to be questions about selections. It's early to be making big judgments on Eddie Howe, you know, in that regard.
Because I think there's a couple of things to consider there. Like, there are marginal calls between Kieran Clark and Federico Fernandez, between Emil Kraft and Manquillo. It's not like he's not picking Callum Wilson and he's picking Dwight Gayle instead. You know, there's not that
I think
big
they
gap
feel,
between the two of them.
I think there is.
It's obvious to us, though. It's obvious to us because we've seen them play for 5 years or however long. And we know now... Well, he's not to be trusted in these situations, or his legs have gone, or whatever. We've seen it. Eddie Howe's had, like, what, 4 weeks at the club?
I wonder with Fernandez whether there's a fitness thing going on there.
It could be that as well, but, I mean, certainly with... I mean, you can only piss with the cock you've got, and we don't have a great amount of depth in quality.
Sorry, you can't just carry on that sentence. You can't just leave that hanging there unaddressed. You can only piss with the cock you've got. Is this a... How many times have you said that phrase in your life, Dave? Is this a common phrase that I'm not aware of? Have you heard that phrase before, Paul?
Never. I'm going to use it from now on.
You can only piss with the cock you've got. Okay. Okay, sorry, carry on. I just want...
Can I continue?
You can continue your point, Dave, but, you know...
Yeah, you've already rendered
about that phrase for maybe the next 6 or 7 minutes.
Whatever point you make is not going to be nearly as interesting as the phrase you used at the start of it. So you might as well stop.
The quick point is that we haven't got great quality. And so he's picking between Kraft and Manquillo, or Richie and Lewis, or Clark and Fernandez. They're not that. There's not huge gaps of quality between the two of them.
I know there is a gap. I think in each of the, I'm not making a big deal out of Eddie Howe now, but
no,
each of those, I think it's the wrong decision. I think let's give a positive. Jamal Lewis got his first start of the season, I think, for us last night.
Yeah.
Against his old side, Norwich. And to me, he looked like a completely different player to last season. Do you agree, Paul?
He looked defensively more solid than he has in any game for us. And until the sending off, looked really threatening attacking as well. That obviously died down a bit because we had to recalibrate a whole game plan. But yeah, I thought he looked really encouraging. It's again, you say there's not much gap, but I wouldn't be playing a right midfielder at left back ahead of, so unless he can't stand up in training or something.
I know what you're saying, but then we talk about Matt Ritchie as this right-sided midfielder, but the facts are that for the past 3 or 4 seasons he's been playing as a wing back, a left-sided wing-back, for a lot of those games. So it's not like he's a player out of position. He's a player who has these two positions. And while, yes, he started his career as a right winger, he's filled in and at times been really good at left wing-back. Now, I agree Lewis should have started more often. I think, like, certainly under Eddie Howe, I think we'll see a lot better from him because I think he's a better coach than previous. And then I think with Fernandez and Clark, yes, I think we should have been going with Fernandez because he's a much calmer head. He might not have the legs that Clark... Well, then Clark doesn't have the legs either. So I think Eddie Howe's got things wrong. I'm just saying that you've got to give him a bit of grace period to work out what his best team is and also get that team used to how he wants to play.
Yeah, especially I think he's probably picked the team he thinks will get a result. And yet, as fans, we don't always know what's best. Like, plenty of fans, us included, would have said, now Howe's in, Joe Linton and Shelvey need to be out of that team.
And
they've been our two best players since then. But Emil Kraft he's not a Premier League right back, and he shouldn't be anywhere near our first. I would rather have Isaac Hayden at right back. Than Emil Kraft. It's just, I feel like there's a few selection things that seem a bit more obvious. Not picking Dubravka against Brentford costs us 2 points.
Yeah.
Picking those fullbacks against Arsenal costs us the chance of a point, I would say. But really, you'd write off as a defeat anyway. And then Kieran Clark last night cost us another 2 points.
Yeah. Because I honestly think that Norwich side are terrible. And the only reason they got a point last night was because we were down to 10 men for 80 minutes. I think, you know, Ryan Fraser stays on the pitch and we're much better in attack because we can attack and we can get forward. Kieran Clark completely cost us this game. And that's why I don't want to see him in a black and white shirt again. Because
no, I understand. But you'd like to think so because you're right. It was a very, very difficult situation that you put us into. But there are two positives we can take from it. One, that we were able to come out of it with a result to get pretty close to getting 3 points from it. It was a good battling performance. But another positive from it would be just how shit one of our relegation rivals are in Norwich City.
Another positive is we actually got to see what looks like our best back four playing together, regardless of it needing injuries and suspensions to get there, you would think that might be our back four in the game against Burnley as well.
I'd like to think so. How long is Lascelles out for?
He's available for Burnley. I think it's just five yellows.
Get back into the side. I just don't think as a new manager...
You drop your captain. I agree. But I think that that should be our back four until January. But then if any of them are in the back four, it should only really be Lewis if he continues this form, because I don't think the rest of them are up to it. I don't think we will.
I don't know, but I think Mankio has been all right of late, actually.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But we definitely need much better quality at centre-back, even if it's on loan until the end of the season, but we need much, much better quality of centre-back.
Okay.
I also think as a manager, you can't go, this is clearly my best back four, but I don't want to upset the captain, so I'll give us a greater chance of getting relegated.
Sure, but I also agree with Dave about it actually being quite fine margins in terms of, you think that you've got, there's an obvious,
I think Fernandez is head and shoulders above Lascelles, and I think we need a ball playing defender like Cher in there, and he's the only one who can do that.
Okay, but like you know, successive managers have picked Lascelles, and he is,
he's improved a little bit under Howe as well, but I guess I'm basing it more on his form this season. Well, compared to how shitty he was at the start of the season. He's only looked like he's got one big mistake in him every game under Howe.
Yeah.
How many games have there been under Howe?
Well, since Bruce went, I guess, rather than under Howe.
Right. I'm going to Twitter now. Dan Ford says, I'm using, you made a face there, Dave. I'm using it as part of the discussion I'm bringing in.
No, it's cool.
I'm looking for just cool ways to bring in our social media contributions rather than just like blind reading a series of tweets at the end. A. Dan Ford says, when did we sign this Brazilian midfield enforcer? We've had a few comments on Joe Linton. Geordie Ash says, why do some of our fans still not rate Joe Linton? The number of tweets I've seen today saying he's shite should be replaced with Almiron. What does he actually offer? Complaining he gives the ball away. Are these fans who had already decided he was crap or idiots? I'm seeing him getting quite a lot of credit, Joe Linton, and rightly so. Right, guys?
Yeah, I think he's looked amazing. I think in the game against Brentford, he suddenly looked like a really good winger. And then, like they were saying last night, he looked like Patrick Vieira. I think the only position he seems unable to play in is up front.
Striker.
I think otherwise he looks great.
It's a shame his first 2 years of his career was trying to be a number nine.
So last night, only a few of our players made more passes. Only Shah made more tackles. No one made more blocks. Only Shelby had more touches. He was fucking excellent in that role. I know it was a battling performance and he had to dig in and he didn't maybe, I don't know, create a lot at the top end of the pitch, but then nobody was really able to create anything because we were, you know, down to 10 men. I thought he's absolutely turned me around on him, and I thought that we'd be lucky to get 5 million for him. Now there's a bit of a player there, and even if he's not going to be, he's never going to be the £40 million player that we paid for. But he's a player.
Yeah, and he could be very, very valuable this season in the way that, you know, all those stats you just offered, just the things that he does that give you, percentage improvements.
There's a couple of points when he was up at the top end of the pitch and he made the wrong decision. There was an instance where we had a couple of men in the box. He was just outside the box and he swung his left foot at it from fully 25 yards. And you just thought, in this kind of situation, when you're trying to keep the ball as far away from our goal as possible for as long as possible, just pass around up there. don't take a shot from 25 yards, just work it into
fine.
The box.
That particular shot, I was fine with it. Go for it. It was quite a good shooting opportunity. It was just outside the box. Go for it.
You know, I think
just
the closer he gets to goal, though, the worse his judgment seems to get. I think, like you were saying the other week, he's a bit like Scholler, where you just think, as long as he doesn't have time to think about it when he's in and around the box, he's fine.
Yeah.
But when of all our players, the one I'd worry about if they had a free run from the halfway line unopposed to the opposition goal, it would be Joe Linton. But I think it's interesting that question as well on about replacing him, or you were saying about people wanting him replaced with Almiron. I think there's more of a case for that happening with St. Maximin than there is with Joe Linton in the way we're playing.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's really weird. It's really weird because Alan Maximin is clearly the most talented footballer at the club, but his form since Howe took over has been pretty poor, and that might be because of a whole host of other reasons, like being down to 10 men, like being coming up against Arsenal, like, you know, etc. But even when he's had the opportunity to be a bit of himself, you know, just go on a run, he hasn't looked as sharp. He hasn't looked as dangerous as he has done previously.
It'll always offer you a few moments in the game where he reminds you of how good he is.
Yeah.
I do find him very frustrating, and I don't blame him for it. I don't think I definitely don't see him as a lazy player. I don't see him as an idiot or anything, but he always takes too many touches for me.
And I think as well, the work he puts in defensively is what worries me more. I don't mind him trying to take on three players and losing the ball if there's no one else up around him, but it's just the lack of... So I think that's sort of what affected Jamal Lewis more last season, was just he was so often two against one when he was playing. It was making him look a worse player than he was. But then he's sort of like our Ronaldo. He's our best player, but I don't know if the team's a little worse with him in or not. I think it's too soon to be saying that, and I wouldn't necessarily want to see him drop, but I'd be intrigued to see what it would be like with Joe Linton, Almiron, Wilson kind of front three.
Yeah. I think certainly in games where we are going to play more on the counter and not expect to have like equal footing as we would do against Norwich or Brentford or Burnley or those kind of teams, but certainly against the better opposition, having someone like Almiron who carries the ball but is like, I don't know, does do a little bit more defensively, I think it's a good check.
So let's talk a little bit about the future, because there is always so much to talk about with us at the moment, because we are in this relegation battle. We are currently on course to become, as I called it last night, the Vincibles, having not won a game in 14. Although seven draws, it's quite a lot. We've got a 50% draw rate. But yeah. To have not won in 14 games but have 7 points is quite weirdly impressive. But, you know, still bottom of the table.
Yeah.
You know, a very dire situation, but also in this really odd situation of our new ownership and all the money that brings. So we've got a few questions on that, as you would expect. RJM023, that's the Twitter handle. I think your podcast is great. Thanks, RJM023. Question, do you go crazy in January to try and avoid relegation but risk signing mercenaries, or risk relegation but spend very little in January and rebuild in the summer? Lagrange says, do Wilson and ASM stick around for a season in the Championship if we go down? You know, Paul M says, now that we have our takeover and new coach, what would be the best Christmas present for NUFC other than a win? So I'm just using those questions as a springboard to talk about January.
The future.
And what happened. You know, somebody else asked, are we going to spend like over 100 million quid? The big question is like, at this stage, who's going to want to come to us? obviously think, some people, but the right players.
I think some players would come for the money. You're looking more at exciting European players who will think they could come for the money, and if we get relegated, they'll have been in the shop window enough to go to a different Premier League team. I think really any big signings we make this January, if we're still in the relegation zone, you have to be looking at those being loans with a view to buying if we stay in the league, rather than just splashing a load of money for players who aren't going to play in the Championship.
I'll tell you one player that on Amazon Prime last night, they did they showed up a graphic with a list of, I don't know who had decided this list, but it was a list of potential January transfers for us. And the player on that list that excited me the most, and I could see the logic behind it, you could see maybe someone getting the chance to buy him, was Christian Pulisic. I was like, if we can have Christian Pulisic, I love Christian Pulisic. That would give me the proper horn.
I think what we have to like consider is that as long as we're within touching distance come January, and you know it's a tough run between now and then. You know that December run is of six games is really tough. But after the January window opens, we've got a run of about nine games where all of them are pretty winnable if we go in there with a bit of confidence, et cetera, et cetera. So if we can line up players to join early January, as long as we're within touching distance of safety, you can convince, like you could convince James Tarkowski to swap Burnley for Newcastle, as long as you say to James Tarkowski, we've also got this exciting player coming on loan from Man U or from Arsenal or from Borussia Mönchengladbach, wherever.
Have you seen today, just on Tarkowski, Burnley said they won't be selling him to Newcastle in January. They're willing to let his contract run out to the end of the season. I don't blame them. They're in a relegation battle as well. You're not going to strengthen your opponents. I think we'll find that problem.
I was going to say our game against Burnley this Saturday could prove to be one big like recruitment drive for James Tarkowski. I think we could
convince players to come. Certainly if you stick a relegation release clause in there, and certainly if you have that, like Paul was saying, just like a loan with a view to buy if we stay up. I think there's money talks at the end of the day. And like you say, if you've got some European player comes for half a season, does really well, or does well enough to get himself a move to another Premier League club, yeah, he'll snap it up. Yeah. I'm not worried about recruitment.
I think it's all on the mercenary point. There are players who are motivated by money who still put in a lot of effort once they're with you. I always remember when Kevin Nolan left us to go to West Ham in the Championship, he was still a great player for them, but it was a decision only motivated by money. He could have gone to many Premier League teams.
You say you're not worried about recruitment, Dave. I mean, we've had a message here from an Everton fan, Sam Ward, who says, just ask Everton fans, be very, very careful with the new fan wealth. I mean, yes, they're not, Everton are not a side who are looking at relegation. But I think a lot of us, we look at the money that we now have and we just sort of put two and two together and look at Man City and Chelsea. And I'm not saying everyone thinks, oh, well, it's just a given that we're going to end up challenging for titles. But there are a lot of sides who spend hundreds of millions but spend it quite badly. And not everything that's happened since the takeover has gone through, or even in the lead up to it, has suggested that the new operation are incapable of making poor decisions or handling things badly. So, you know.
Yeah. So when I said I wasn't worried about recruitment, it was more that we would still be an attractive place to join rather than we would definitely get the recruitment right. Because, I mean, you look at how much we have spent, Newcastle United have spent on players that haven't worked out. We've spent, I mean, tens of millions of pounds, probably hundreds of million pounds on players like Riviere, Tovan, Cabella, plenty of it. And you look at West Ham, how much they spent on strikers and how badly most of their strikers turn out. Everton, how much they've spent and how bad it's turned out. So I'm not saying that we'll get it right. I'm just saying I'm not worried about players who could improve us not wanting to join us. That's not a concern.
Fair enough.
I think the other worrying thing with recruitment is it sounds like we're not going to have a director of football in before the end of January, which seems mad to, like, if you think how long every decision's taken so far and how there's sort of three split voices on every decision, it's a bit worrying who's driving recruitment for us.
And is that true? That sounds proper mental. If we're not going to have them until the end of January.
They don't expect to have anyone in by the transfer.
For the January window, yeah. But then I suppose there's an argument to be made that having a director of football in for what is likely going to be a firefighting transfer window rather than a long-term plan window. You don't really need a long-term plan in place when your primary goal is staying up, because you can sign the players that will be good enough to keep you up without an eye on 5 years down the line and who's the replacement for the replacement for the player that you just signed. Like, you don't have to have that long-term
I think my worry is more practical, vision. Though. We've not even got Charnley anymore. Like, who's going to be working the fax machine? Is there going to be anyone there?
Yeah, I think we do need to sort that out and sort that out quickly. But purely in terms of transfer dealings in the January window, I would hope that we're already... I mean, we will, like, Newcastle United will be absolutely bombarded by agents right now because we are wealthy. So we will be getting a lot of agents touting their players around. We do need somebody to go filter through that and find the ones that we can actually help. And Eddie Howe's got a decent record of transfers. It's not 100%, but then it's decent.
When he was about to, I know that other people were suggesting that he had a bad record for transfers, but I'm happy to take your
money signings were the ones that get criticised. I'm trying to think who it was. Solanke and
Ibe.
Yeah.
But then you got players like Callum Wilson for less than $1 million and Arsenal's keeper for next to nothing as well. There's plenty of good ones in there.
I'd imagine on every podcast for the next few weeks, there'll be a lot more chat on the January transfer window. But we didn't quite answer LaGrange's question. Do Wilson and ASM stick around for a season in the Championship if we go down? It's an interesting question. I would think probably no.
Wilson maybe, but because he'll be, 31? So he might stick around because that's the trajectory of his career now is going to be down in like
Championship. I would imagine that there'll be a Premier League side who would fancy.
Think as well, both those players, whether it's unrealistic or not, have both got designs on trying to make the World Cup. You would imagine they're not going to want to be in the Championship. And you look at Wilson, if you put him in a team like Brighton or Southampton, who create a lot of chances but can't finish.
Yeah.
He would
That's fair.
Get 10-15
goals a season.
And Sir Maximum will definitely be gone, which is a shame, but then
COVID money is the only thing that changed. The market's not going to be what it's been like in previous seasons. I think the only reason St. Maximin's here is because of COVID as well, in a weird way. So it depends how many willing a buyer there'll be.
Yeah, but in the same way as Wilson will have suitors from the Premier League, so will St. Maximin. There will be like Everton or someone like that will look at St. Maximin and think that he can make the difference. And NBC have just signed a new broadcast deal with the Premier League, which is pretty much double the previous one. So Premier Leagues in the 22 season are going to have a little bit more money coming in from the broadcast deals.
Right. Well, I'd be interested to see ASM playing for Rafa Benitez at Everton.
There's no way Benitez is going to be there next season.
No, it doesn't look like it, does it? So our next game is, you would have to say, another inverted commas must win against Burnley. It's a huge game. It's a six-pointer.
Burnley, who have just drawn away at Wolves 0-0 as well tonight. But I think a tough team to break down.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But did Burnley give us as good as Chris Wood can be? And who's their other striker? Do Burnley give us our best chance of a clean sheet so far this season?
It's been our only clean sheet of the season has been Burnley in the Carabao. So you'd have to say so. And we deserved to win that by at least two, if memory serves.
We're going to win it, right? 3 points, Paul.
Well, you would hope. The problem is, you think, if everyone plays to their potential and everything goes to plan, we should be looking to win. But Kieran Clarke's ruined that viewpoint for me. I can't think like that anymore.
Yeah.
But maybe Javier Manquillo is just going to, I don't know, not turn up.
Mm.
Just field 10 players. I don't know. I think we should win that. I don't think it's it feels must win, but I think we have to look at the broader situation and say we're 6 points off safety with 24 games to play. So as much as games feel like must win, they're not.
No, I would say it's must win, but it's not must win. It's,
yeah,
you know, it's, you would really, it would be very annoying if we didn't 3 points. Before I go to you, Dave, I need a score four, please.
I need 1-0 as.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, all I was going to say is that Burnley have struggled to score, and I think that we haven't. We haven't been great. We've scored in pretty much every game in the Premier League. I think in every game in the Premier League. So, yeah, I reckon 1-0 to us.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go 2-0 to us.
Wow.
2-0 to us. Maybe Joe Willock will become a footballer again and get a goal. Maybe.
That would be nice.
I'd like a double Joe Linton and Joe Willock. That'd be nice.
Oh, two lovely lads. Two lovely goals for two lovely lads.
Please.
Okay. Let's leave it there. Thank you very much, Dave Watson.
Thanks, Fergus.
Thank you, Paul Doolan.
Thank you.
And thank you to you, the Newcastle Natter listener. And thank you, Steve Bruce.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.